Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Wow, buddy! You look healthy and happy.
Veterinary surgeon and natural pet food pioneer John Burns knows the positive impact a natural diet has on our beloved pets. That's why he developed Burns Pet Nutrition.
Maybe I should try some of your pet food myself. Okay. I'll start with a salad.
For natural, no nasty, wholesome recipes, choose Burns Pet Nutrition. Available from veterinary clinics and all good pet shops across Ireland.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on the road this April with our live show, Cocaine Cowboys. If you want to hear the story of Ireland's love affair with Colombian powder and those who made millions in the gold rush, join us in Galway's Town Hall Theatre on Saturday, 6th of April, Killarney's INEC on Saturday, the 13th of April.
Tickets for Belfast's show have sold out on Ticketmaster.ie, but limited availability remains at ulsterhall.co.uk. That's ulsterhall.co.uk.
Although the sanctions have placed the Kinahan family on a much bigger profile internationally, they were still extremely high profile from 2019 to 2022. They put out this narrative in quite a structured and organised way and put a lot of effort into it. There may be a misdirection thing going on there to put himself in various places in Spain and in Holland as well. It may be a kind of a deliberate strategy.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe.
Hundreds of restaurant and hotel reviews are left by Christy Kinahan Sr. on a review system set up by Google. The reviews purport to geo-track the phone used by the Dapper Don, an expert in counter-surveillance and high-end security technology. Today, I'm talking with Niall Donald about Kinahan and what could be behind the Godfather's so-called digital footprint. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Your glasses.
Yeah, well, I wasn't actually going to wear them, but yeah. We're going through reviews of a major...
They're now crooked and you have the plaster on.
Jack Duckworth is what I've been called.
I'll have to put mine on. Do you know what happened to me this morning? So I was in Ireland AM this morning.
Yeah.
And late last night, I got a text from them just to tell me that they'd ordered the taxi.
Yeah.
So I was actually lying in bed. I looked at the text and went, grand, 9 o'clock, right? So it scheduled the whole morning to being ready. But I just, when I got up, I went, I'll double check that.
9 o'clock sounds a bit late.
Put the glasses on. It has 8 a.m. So that was the start of the day. I had to go in with my hair wet and everything and try and, like a dog's dinner.
It's terrible though, isn't it, how reliant you've become on glasses. But yeah, like Jack Duckworth, there's a certain...
I'm going to get my eyes lasered.
Are you?
100%.
Yeah, well, look.
Affecting my lifestyle, everything. It's affecting everything. It's affecting my work.
I mean, the reason I've them on actually is because I'm looking at the reviews from Christy Kinahan Sr. of various eateries around the world that remain up on Google reviews. And it is kind of amusing really, isn't it?
So this was a story that came out in the Sunday Times and with the aid of Bellingcat,
yeah, a well-known investigative journalism site that deals with kind of matters of crime and politics across the world.
So they worked together on this and they went basically looking for these reviews, Google reviews that Christopher Kinahan had left.
Yeah.
And the timeline of this is in and around the same time that we have previously described the Twitter account he was using and the content he had on it.
Yeah.
And the LinkedIn account he was using and the content he had on it.
Exactly.
And those were maybe what we felt was more of an insight into his political thought.
Yeah.
He was sort of, you know, very engaged with what was happening in Yemen. He was quite pro-Putin.
Yeah.
He wasn't really a believer in COVID.
No, he was a COVID skeptic, a lockdown skeptic.
Anti-Big Pharma.
Anti-kind of, I suppose, US imperialism. Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but...
So this is kind of basically the same timeline. So all of this is kind of pretty much 2 years up to the sanctions.
Yeah, it kind of...
sanctions were in April of 22.
April of 22, and that kind of seems to be when his reviewing stops. So, I mean, he's prolific, though, it has to be said, as a reviewer, and he was prolific on LinkedIn. I mean...
Before we get talking about this... Can I just throw in a little bit of cynicism, which is going to make me sound probably a little bit like Christopher Vincent myself.
Go on.
I think there's a reason for all this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I see the picture, the full picture as to why he was doing this, but I think there was a reason that he was doing this at the time. Was it to goad police, or was it to create the persona that he had become at this stage, which was he was moonlighting as Christopher Vincent, an aviation expert who was living in the Gulf and traveling around and attending. He was basically trying to buy aircraft from Egypt, ex-military aircraft. But we do know that he was very much in the other part of his world, trying to get an ownership of some of the cocaine trafficking routes into Europe. And he was moving drugs up through Africa in COVID ambulances during the coronavirus. His ambitions know no bounds. It was not enough to have at that point been sitting at the very top of a multi-billion euro cocaine cartel. He wanted more.
Yeah.
And this is all happening. And as I always say, whenever I talk about Christopher Kinahan Sr., I think at the heart of everything he does, he is ultimately a fraudster.
Yeah.
That's what he was. That's what he started out as. That's what he is. And you have somebody with that personality, with that sort of intelligence, mixing into the underworld and that world of high-end organized crime. I just wanted to kind of...
Well, look at it this way, right?
I'm skeptical about everything here, and I'm just explaining really why I am.
Well, I'd tell you, so if you look at, say, a Twitter account, you see them and they get set up and they're set up 2 days ago and all of a sudden they're prolific and they're slagging people off or whatever. And everybody instantly goes, this is a troll, a setup. So there is a value to having this long-term digital footprint for somebody like Christopher Kinahan Sr., who was set himself up as an aviation broker involved in various bits of the aviation business. So there is a value to having this long-term digital footprint as Christopher Vincent, that he, if he was connected with somebody in a legitimate sense, he would have this long-term digital footprint. So that could be the purpose of it. However, there must be something in him that enjoys doing this and expressing his opinion as well, do you think? And it could well be as well that you know, the LinkedIn, which we found, I mean, it wasn't massively hard to find, was it? I mean, it's you know, so...
No, I did think before in relation to some of the social media usage by other groupings, you know, the encrypted phone networks have been hacked and compromised.
Yeah.
They're having to communicate. They can't run their businesses without communicating. They're working with people and partners all over the world. They're moving cocaine from South America into Europe and beyond. Is any of this a way of communicating publicly? It's just anything is possible with these people. Anything is possible. Do I believe for one second this particular review I'm looking at,
yeah,
it's dated 2 years ago. Visited this cinema again today, 28th of December, 2021, in case none of you who might be reading this know exactly the date I was in this cinema. I don't know whether a normal person without any security problems put that down. And he's with his family. He's told the full package that we ordered has been cut back and reduced, not in the price. New menu is disappointing, in my opinion. It seems that the all new setup is geared to get you to buy additional items to make an already expensive package all the more expensive. So he goes down through it and he comes to the end of it and he says, the seats are very plush and reclinable. Blankets are available with each seat. If you're wearing shorts, skirts and light summer clothing, given that the temperature outside of the mall was about 38 to 40 degrees, I rate this experience with a resounding 5 stars.
Yeah.
The food and the service was top notch, which is totally different to what's been said at the beginning of this review.
Well, I think he gives it 2 or 3 reviews, that one actually. And it's the most recent review is the one at the top where he says, I feel ripped off and I've been coming here for 6 years at that point.
So the first one was left. Well, there's no date on the first.
No, but I think I think it's chronological. So he gets, that's a constant theme in these reviews. And, you know, there's loads and loads of them and they remain up online about him feeling ripped off or service not being good or people being disrespectful. I don't know, do people operate on 2 different levels where they're always planning and there's always an agenda, or are we to believe that somebody of his high profile, and remember, you know, although the sanctions have placed the Kinahan family on a much bigger profile internationally, they were still extremely high profile in 2019 to 2022. Mm. Are we to believe that somebody like him just casually leaves reviews? Maybe they do.
He takes his own photographs and at times snapshots his own image in mirrors.
Well, I think if you look at it there's hundreds and hundreds of photos, and on one occasion he snapshot in a mirror. So maybe that could be an error. But there could be other purposes. Certainly the Kinahan, certainly since they've been in Spain, misdirection has been a huge part of what they do.
Exactly. And I suppose to explain to people, we've spoken about it before, but I suppose maybe why I might be coming at this a little bit cynically as well.
Yeah.
The Kinahan organization, with Christy Kinahan in particular at the head, are known to have really high end technology usage, as in they use scrambled IP addresses. They've used Proton and other encrypted email addresses to communicate sometimes with media in order to have a narrative set into the mainstream media, which of course they reject mainstream media. But there are various different reasons for wanting these agendas to make it into the mainstream medias. And particularly around 2016, we saw quite a sophisticated PR exercise by the Kinahan organization that took a while for the Gardaí to conclude that it was coming directly from the Kinahan organization. It was Facebook narratives, it was Twitter, and it had its own internet site. It had an email address that you could contact to get to have direct contact with somebody purporting to be working in intelligence gathering who couldn't give their identity because they were an international sort of spook who had an interest in the Kinahans and exposing them.
Yeah.
But all the while, it was Kinahan himself behind it.
Yeah. So I suppose what it was the first piece, like the Kinahans have broke the mold in many ways in Irish gangland terms. There's no doubt about that. But after the Regency, what you saw was they broke the mold in terms of propaganda wars. They didn't just fight a war with the Hutches and to an extent the Irish state in terms of a military war, if you want, but they also fought this propaganda war where, you know, they spent huge amounts of money producing a narrative, and part of that narrative was for consumption outside of Ireland as well as in Ireland. The things that included was the production of a 25 minute documentary style about the Regency Hotel. There was a rap video, there was there was a book, a full book called Blood Feud, which was 120-130 pages, written in a very similar style, it has to be said, than some of these reviews, that kind of didactic, sort of preachy kind of style. And they had various bot accounts on various social media platforms. And they put out this narrative in a very, in a quite a structured and organized way and put a lot of effort into it. So I suppose you're looking at that kind of dropped off at some point. They then...
It was maybe focused elsewhere.
Well, it focused elsewhere. And it also moved into then, into the boxing arena where Daniel had a lot of people consistently come out and say what a great guy he was. It moved away from the kind of anonymous...
That sort of stuff from the boxers was much more clear-cut to me than what started in 2016 with this fake social media and this kind of idea that you as a journalist were being contacted directly sometimes by this individual.
Yeah.
Who was offering to help, to give you leads, to give you information.
And he praised, I like that bit you said there, and here's another bit, and seek a bit of information off you maybe. And
well, the whole purpose that was eventually kind of sort of seen as the motivation by the Gardaí who investigated, it was the National Bureau of Criminal Investigation that investigated this account. And on the account, one of the very few sort of... one of hundreds of things that came up, but just one of hundreds of things, was one single image of Christy Kinahan Sr.
Yeah.
Taken of him in Hong Kong
with
a Financial Times under his arm and a trench coat on, looking every bit the dapper Don. In my simplistic way, I reckoned at the time it was the image he wanted to portray of himself in this whole narrative about feuding and organised crime, etc. He didn't want to be seen in those photographs where he's bent over with his hands and cuffs coming in and out of a courthouse.
Yeah.
I believed, I don't know, that's probably too simplistic because he does have a very strange and intriguing mind, this guy. But that image was placed there. And again, it was as if it had been captured by people in high-end intelligence who were following him all over the world and who were giving somebody... But the image was coming from himself. The whole thing was run by himself. The whole thing was eventually, I mean, again, the investigation sort of concluded the motivation for this was to try and have discussions with as many people as possible to give, say, for example, if you are having 100 secret discussions with 100 different people, you give each one of them the same piece of information in the hopes you get some back.
Yeah.
So you might get 100 pieces of information back and that it was very helpful. I don't know what information the Gardaí believed that Kinahan could have got back because what we know, I mean, when the Regency kicked off, the Kinahans were ahead of the game as regards what had actually occurred, who was involved.
Yeah.
They certainly knew more than we ever did.
Yeah.
They were the first to actually out Jonathan Dowdall as having an involvement in the Regency.
Yeah, and they had a focus on certain members of the Hutch family, including Patsy and people like that maybe, you know, that certainly in the Regency trial, you heard the role that Patsy is alleged to have played in the plot, that the justices decided and commented it on. So they were, he was ahead of the game in that way. And remember, it was quite produced. It was set up in somebody had formatted it. It wasn't just that it was written down. It was a graphic designer had become involved, at least on some level. I mean, the Blood Feud book was a huge effort.
It was a huge effort. It was written by a writer, by, you know, somebody who, certainly had the skills of a journalist to put together that into a proper narrative. The drama documentary, the cost of that was speculated upon at the time. But you see, that's where they don't care because they're so rich. Why not throw this money at these games you're playing or propaganda?
So
we're kind of...
gone around to then...
We've all that in our head when we're looking at this. And possibly Christy Kinahan is roaming about trying to develop businesses, some of them legitimate, and obviously eyeing up the trade route into Europe of cocaine, which is the most powerful position any organization can be on by owning the transport routes. It's as powerful as the actual cartels themselves producing the cocaine. So, but maybe in the midst of all this, he's a normal guy too, and he gets pissed off when his food is served cold or whatever.
Yeah.
But let's keep an open mind as to it as we go through the stuff.
Well, even if it is for some master plan, right?
Mm.
It's still kind of funny anyway, is it, in bits?
Well, it's worth discussing, shall we say.
Because he's hardly, even if he has some other master plan, the sheer mundanity of some of it is sort of amusing if you're that way inclined, which unfortunately, or fortunately, I am that way inclined. He's obviously, he's geolocated by his phone, basically, like we all do if we use an Android phone. You know, Google Maps will say where you've been if you have that setting on. So it shows, you can look at the reviews and some of the pictures, and it shows where he's been over this period of time.
Is that in itself anyway plausible, that he has a phone that has the geolocation?
Well, it may. It
isn't being scrambled, that a guy in his position with the weight of world investigators looking at him, where he is, what he's at, what he's doing, that he has geo-trafficking on his normal Android phone.
Well, maybe if you go back in time, maybe it is.
Maybe
he wanted people to know where he is at some times and didn't want them to know where he is.
That bit I would buy.
So that is certainly possible that he was happy for people to know he was in certain places at certain times, and less happy, you know, presumably he has other phones as well as this one. But you see him, obviously the vast majority of the reviews are in Dubai and in or around the Jumeirah hotel, basically Jumeirah Palm, where they were living. But then there's other reviews, a few in Turkey, there's some in Spain, and there's some in South Africa. And they're quite banal. He does actually an interesting review of a COVID test center in South Africa 2 years ago. And he gives out the test was expensive, especially compared to the cost in Dubai. And he gives out about it and says it's mainly due to the contempt that the management appear to hold us sheep in. Mm-hmm. So again, he goes back to that kind of anti-COVID stuff. He gives out about a pizzeria in Turkey, and he says the staff were totally indifferent, practically unresponsive. It's almost as if they had been sedated. He gives out furiously about the lack of life in the staff. So it is. I don't know what to make of it, I have to say.
2 years ago, I again came back to Cafe Batil today, 1st of November at 2021 at 12:30, just in case you had any questions about where he was at that particular time. The organisation was not as good as usual, and the service suffered because of this. You see, it also needs somebody to go through the writing, you know, the kind of the use of language and all, because all that was done previous as well, you know, to see was some of these social media sites, were they run by one person or was there a number of people using them? I think in particular, anybody who would have been looking at a certain Twitter site and phone that was used by the Hutch organization, that phone moved around. It didn't stay. The phone moved, and certainly the writer changed on that Twitter site in particular, which was constantly attacking the Kinahans and exposing them, linking them to certain crimes and all the rest of it. Sometimes the author was very articulate and able to spell and construct a sentence. Sometimes the author clearly hadn't got that.
Yes, so it lapsed into bad spelling and overuse of expletives language. But no, I think the writing in this one is at least quite consistent, because it is very well written.
Commas in the right places, full stop, sentences beginning and ending.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt, certainly from what we're going through, you'd need to properly, I mean, again, look, perhaps he visited the Arabian tea house for breakfast this morning at 07:45 11th of July, 2022. That was after the sanctions.
Yeah.
The service was good and the staff were friendly. This is after this man has been put on a wanted poster in the States with a $5 million bounty on his head, right?
Yeah.
That there is that money, that reward money is available for people who have information about him, about his whereabouts, about his business dealings.
Yeah.
So this guy who's on a wanted poster in the States is citing his exact location at the exact time on a particular date.
Now, but he was definitely updating his LinkedIn profile after the sanctions. And it was only after it finally appeared in the Sunday World that they were taken down.
Yeah.
So whether he's doing these things for clients, maybe he had legitimate clients that he wanted to maybe separate himself from the man on the posters and appear to be acting as normal, or whether it's two fingers to the police authorities at that stage, I don't know. You know, he's obviously locating himself in various places around Europe, including in south of Spain and in Holland. Like, there's one here in,
I definitely don't believe he was back in the south of Spain.
Well, this is 2 years, like, this is obviously 2 years ago. And there's one here in the Golden Tulip Hotel in Breda in Holland. And it said, the hotel, all things considered, I would rate as 3-star overall. The staff were generally helpful.
Does he give a date and time on that one?
He gives a, well, there is a date in it, but it doesn't actually say it there. But he says, one special mention to Barbara, who was extremely helpful, efficient and professional. My room was very basic. It had a motel feel about it. The breakfast was adequate. I only stayed for one night and as such did not have an opportunity to experience all this hotel had to offer. Brackets, perhaps. So at this point, obviously...
Is this after the sanctions?
This is before the sanctions, I'd say, you know.
Do you believe he's been moving in and out of Europe?
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, I at that point, I mean, it's harder to say. Certainly since the sanctions, I don't think there's any way that they've moved around. I think most of these reviews are from pre-sanctions times. We do know, of course, that he's been prosecuted, hasn't he, for having a fake passport. His name came up on a fake passport case in the UK where there was an organization, an organized crime gang, basically, yeah, of sort of retired kind of criminals who were running passports. And Christy Kinahan was one of the people they'd applied passports for. So at that point, certainly the international focus wouldn't have been on him at the same stage. This is before the sanctions. And he may well have moved in and around places. I don't actually know. But it does look a bit unlikely. Obviously as well, like, if there's, you know, if he has a phone that he wants, that he's happy for people to track, that phone could be given to somebody who could
travel with somebody else.
You could travel with somebody else. That person could leave reviews in Christopher's language and it could be used as misdirection. 100%, I mean, I think that's also a possibility.
I think it's something that he as an individual is more than capable of.
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly have to accept that.
Yeah, and I think you have to accept as well that by all accounts, even more so than his sons, he has a reputation for being deeply paranoid about, you know, informers and about people following him
and
keeping
about
an eye on him.
His location, I can tell you.
And about his location.
Because I know that even when he used to arrange to meet people in the Netherlands, when he was not, you know, he was on the radar, obviously always was, but I mean, there was no way that he was under the kind of pressure he's been under since 2010 in Spain and Operation Shovel. This was before that. He would change location for a meeting up to 6 times.
Yeah.
I mean, if you thought you were meeting him at 9 o'clock for breakfast in a certain hotel and you were a trusted, you know, individual, that he didn't have any reason to think.
Yeah.
Your location would change 5 or 6 times before he actually appeared.
Yeah, yeah.
Like something from a movie.
Yeah.
And that is reliably, you know, that's coming from reliable sources.
Yeah.
And it's something that was happening well before any of, you know, his increasing
profile
amongst international police. So it is just really hard to think that, you know, this man is traveling around the world with his own Android phone switched on to geolocation and putting up,
yeah,
you know, reviews of his dining experiences, his cinema experiences, and what he thinks of a pint of beer.
Yeah, it is. It is hard to believe. Certainly, obviously, the encrypted phones were so widely in use during this period of time as well. Like even criminals of a relatively low level were using encrypted phones, really, from about 2000.
Anchorage had been busted in April of 2020.
Yeah, so
it had been, they'd hacked into it, and yeah, that had all blown up in the June of 2020. This is a year, sometimes 2 years, before he's at this with an Android phone, leaving his digital.
I mean, by 2018, you know, I think even mid-level criminals were using encrypted technology, and it was so widely available that they were using it not just to do to do their illegal business, but as the Anchor Chat hack showed, that's what they communicated with each other in a casual way with as well. So I don't know, but you know, people are funny as well, and they can make these mistakes. But it's interesting, I suppose, the locations where we do see him in, and they include like Zimbabwe and South Africa, and Egypt as well. And there have been traces of him in those locations where he acted in a kind of public way. It's certainly in Egypt, as part of, you know, there was pictures of him at that conference where he was attempting to buy some planes. He seemed to have posed openly for pictures with various people. So it's maybe he had an interest in putting himself out as being in particular places at particular times, and not in other occasions. He wanted to keep it quiet. So maybe there's a strategy behind it. Mm. Certainly to locate himself in Europe as well. There may be a misdirection thing going on there to put himself in various places in Spain and in Holland as well. It may be a kind of a deliberate strategy. But we just don't know, I suppose, do we? Mm,
we don't. Anyway, that was pretty much what came out of the Bellingcat investigation. And we did see before the ICIJ, the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, who had done sort of the main work on that LinkedIn and the links with Zimbabwe. And there was a Malawi paper that had done some really good investigative work as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Had identified some of the airlines and some of the
local people that had been involved in business with him.
And the fact that he was, you know, applying, I think he was nearly applying for grants, was he, to move these COVID airlines?
Yeah.
And the belief was that he was actually running drugs up through the country using COVID air ambulances to do that. The story still, it just keeps giving.
Yeah.
And it keeps emerging, and it is so intriguing.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure we have a clue yet what's been going on. I think we have a little tiny window into what's been going on, in particular with Christopher Senior.
Yeah.
Daniel Kinahan in the last few years has been so open in his, you know, relationship with boxing, and, you know, eventually coming forward after fixing the Tyson Fury bout with Anthony Joshua, which never happened.
Yeah.
But we can clearly follow what he was doing within the boxing. But Christopher Senior has always been the far more intriguing character since he left these shores in the late 1980s, early 90s.
And interestingly, which I do have to say is a great piece of journalism, he does a review at one point of a restaurant in Dubai.
Right.
And obviously then Bellingcat and the Sunday Times, they've gone back and looked on that restaurant, social media at that time, that week. And during that week, people put up pictures of themselves in the restaurant, or maybe the restaurant take them themselves. And they've managed to find Christopher Senior and the Christopher Junior, who never gets a mention as much as the others on
Crime
World.
I wonder, did they have to do that with every single review he left?
No, I don't know.
Was there a direction to do it in that particular one?
Well, we don't know. So we can only speculate. But I mean, you know, it just shows you what can be found on the internet. Mm-hmm. And they do find a picture of him. Obviously, he's well in the background of somebody else's photo. And you can see Christopher Jr., who really never gets referred to in the same way, eating with somebody who looks like Christy Sr. for sure. But Christy Jr. hasn't
wearing
been...
wearing a very similar t-shirt in that actual... in that actual picture that he was wearing before in Spain.
Yeah.
That particular colour is obviously his colour.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, sorry for being so cynical about it all.
Yeah.
I just think we're constantly being fed something by Kinahan.
Yeah.
Constantly being fed a narrative. And sometimes believing it. I mean, I even go back to 2010 to Operation Shovel, and there was a lot of police attention and frustration focused on Brazil.
Yeah.
And I long held a belief that Kinahan knew he was under investigation by Operation Shovel. I think he had time to think. And I do believe that some of that stuff was left there for a reason.
Yeah.
It tied up the investigation for years. On the face of it, it looked as if Kinahan had bought a corner of Brazil.
Yeah.
That he was building the equivalent of a K club, you know, a big, huge country club out there. But when you went, it was a dirt track, nothing built, nothing in it, worthless. Certainly some investors here in Ireland had bought plots on it and for smallish enough amounts of money. There was an office set up in Spain, but it was one of the reasons that Operation Shovel failed against him, because so much resources and frustration went into trying to follow that trail to Brazil.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, I suppose we're wary because over the years you get these great emails and there's this great information in them, and then you follow up bits of it and you figure out that there is an agenda there, and people are, like, certainly at the height of the feud, these calls and emails were coming in on a regular basis, and eventually you'd see, you could never be sure, but there was always a belief that there was a certain narrative being pushed and a certain looking for information back.
Yeah, if you push back on it a lot, you discovered that you were actually in communication, probably with the Kinahans themselves for some of the information, and maybe the other side too of that.
Yeah.
Some stuff was very confusing as regards what it was, with very complex information given. Sometimes, you know,
often with a bit of accuracy, but then also with some other bits that were...
It's hugely inaccurate when you tried to follow it up and you tried to check it out. But there was often stuff that was, you know, put together to look as if it was an international intelligence document. And the amount of work that went to trying to put it together, to use the language and to kind of look as if it was that. But then, you know, if you've a decent enough contact, you can make it, you can make a call and realize, no, hang on a second. This is completely worse.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the wariness, and it does look unlikely. I mean, not that it's not him. I do 100% believe this is 100%. Christopher.
All his restaurant views and all that, 100%. And this has been a lengthy investigation by the Sunday Times and Bellingcat, and well worth doing.
Yeah. And some brilliant, as I said, just basic detective work finding him in the pictures. But it's just, is there another agenda, or is it just, and I mean, but then again, you can never underestimate people's ability to be careless at times, and social media. It's not just Christy Kinahan that may have been careless on social media. It happens to many people. But
I was talking to Clodagh before you came on here, and this in particular, which I'll show you, there is one picture of him in particular, which is the Aria Anna Palace Hotel. And this is in Budapest, I think.
Yeah.
And he has left a review and he's put up a load of pictures on it. And one of the images is taken, he takes all these pictures himself, obviously, on his Android phone that is, you know, we can trace his movements on. And it's a picture down a lobby of, you know, which is rooms of a hotel.
Yeah.
Clean. It looks quite nice, marble, a couple of carpets on the floors, etc. But at the very end of the lobby is this mirror, and in it, this guy purporting to be Christy Kinahan has been perfectly framed in that mirror, and it looks like almost a painting.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that isn't placed there on purpose.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, If you believe that narrative, it's a little bit sinister. He's almost a sort of ghost-like character.
Yeah.
In the, you know, I mean, you pretty much know it's him if you're not a lookalike, but it's perfectly centered. He's perfectly centered. He's wearing what looks like his usual trench coat and his designer suit. It's just so odd looking.
Possibly, but I mean, if it is some sort of long piece of misdirection, he's really, really committed to it because there's a lot of reviews. I mean, there's hundreds of reviews, isn't there? So I don't know. It's
if you got money, you can pay for anything.
If you got money, you can pay for.
You don't really have to do this. Some of this hard work yourself. But anyway, nonetheless, it's fascinating and a fascinating piece of journalism. And you know, maybe one of these days I'll be convinced this was what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
Or maybe the real kind of point of it will come to light.
Yeah, maybe so.
Better minds than
mine. Or maybe you're just getting suspicious in your old age, aren't you?
I don't know.
I'll put on my Jack Duckworths and
go
back and read some more of them.
Read some more, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Niall.
Thanks, Nicola.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Claude Amini. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.